Good morning, Northern Hills. It's good to be with you here this morning. I want to welcome you that are here with us here at church. I want to welcome those that are joining us online as well, wherever you may be joining us, a living room, a kitchen. Now I'm getting hungry. My name is Brandon, and I am part of our teaching team here at the church, and we are in week two of our series, What's Your Story? Why does my story matter? That's the big question we're really asking throughout this entire series. This is a key question. Why does my story matter? Because the answer to that question is going to allow us, if we can find what the answer is uniquely to us, how God has wired us, why our story matters, that's going to take us to new and deep places, we believe, in our relationship with God. And so it's a key question that you'll hear over and over throughout this series, and the answer is even that much more important. I believe that children give us a glimpse, a little bit, in how to get the answer to that. Has anybody hung out with just spent time with your children or maybe someone else's children just recently and spent time just taking in how they see life? I'm telling you, there is nothing better than children. Children are amazing because they're the reason we lose it. And they're also the reason we keep it all together in the same sentence. That's why it's a joy to spend with children. And we know this, especially with our own children. You can see in the early stages of a child's life, some of their just nature that they have, something that just lights their fire a little bit, something they're a little excited for. And you can see whether that's science or whether someone's bent a little bit more towards the athletic side. We see this in the early stages, but whatever a child's bent is, whatever, again, lights their fire, whatever skills they may have, I think all children that we can hang out with are inherently creative. They're just creative. Camden's on another stage of Legos. And this has sort of ebbed and flowed within our upbringing of him and whatnot. He gets really excited about something and then sort of goes and focuses on something else. We are in another stage of loving Legos. And it doesn't matter what kind of afternoon happens in the Freda family, but that kid will put something together, an automobile, a spaceship, a fortress, a building of some sort. And right now what's happening is it's pitting the Avengers versus the Star Wars characters, okay? Like, this is a battle that's going on. He's gotten in his creative mind that even though they're sort of both good guys, obviously they both have bad guys on there too, he's made them like one good guy and one bad guy, and that can change on any given minute, right? And so he's got this creative mind, he's got this creative skill to just build something and create his own thing, not even follow directions, and has this creativity. And I think we know this. If you set up a kindergartner group, with, again, sheets of paper, a tub, tubs of finger paints, they just know what to do. You don't need to give anybody instructions for that. And quite honestly, they don't even really need the finger paints or the paper, right? You could give them chocolate pudding in a nearby wall, and chances are they're going to figure out what to do. Same thing with a group of children, that if they invade a wooded area, they wouldn't know this, but a Civil War reenactment can actually happen right in front of your face, and just this war with sticks and rocks can happen. I guarantee you, if you found something in an old trunk of skirts or dresses, and you just put that in front of a group of children, sooner than later, that thing would be opened up, and you're reenacting Frozen Part 50 right there in your living room. That's just children. And Jenny and I still joke to this day. We laugh so much about all the toys we bought when our children were really young ages. We would get them all the unique, high quality, this really interactive kind of toy. And it would, without fail, Camden or our daughter Elodie would play more with the box and play more with the wrapping that it all came in and create some kind of game with that. And we're like, oh, we could have saved all this money. All we needed was to open the kitchen drawer and give them a spoon and they would have figured it out, right? But children, all they need is the right opportunity. And I believe it reveals this creative nature within them. And that is precisely what has happened with God and the story that we have in God's greater story. We are God's story. And what he's placed us in, depending on what your creative nature is, depending on if you like science, depending on if you have a bent towards athletics or whatever it is, fill in the blank, he will put us in an environment. He has put us in this environment of unlimited opportunities, of unlimited potential. And what that is our lives. It's our lives. We're playing out a story, and we all have one, and our stories matter. What we've used during this series, what we're attempting to use, are three tools that help us process our stories, icons that really have unique and powerful meaning to each of them. And Sam helped walk us through the bold icon last week. This week, I want us to walk through the underline icon, okay? So we did bold icon last week. It's underline icon this week. And I believe this is going to apply to our stories. What does the underline do when we see it in an email, when we see it in a letter? What does the underline signify to us? I think in a lot of ways it signifies what the bold icon does. It brings emphasis to whatever word is being depicted in that paragraph, in that sentence. But I think more than ever, we're more familiar than that in our everyday interactions, that when something is underlined, if you get a text and something's underlined, if you get an email and something's underlined, it's basically a hyperlink. If you click on that underlined word or that underlined sentence, it's going to send you to something deeper. So we'd love your feedback on your experience with Evelyn's Wine Bar and Bistro. What were you doing at Evelyn's Wine Bar and Bistro? But, right, we can click on that, and we can go deeper into a survey to give them feedback, or we can go deeper into any given subject on a text or an email and find out something that's going to be deep dive, something that we're going to understand, maybe what that link's drawing us to in a deeper way. So I want us to think back to the children and the children aspect for a minute. What if our stories could take us off to places that we couldn't even imagine, a far deeper area of our lives, if we really knew, understood, and embraced our creative nature? What would our stories look like if we were living out passion on a daily, minute-by-minute basis? What if we found, would we find ourselves in these new and purposeful surroundings as we just went deeper into what lights our fire? And so that's the question I want to ask this morning. What lights your fire? What lights your fire? There's a million ways to ask that question, right? What is the thing that energizes you? What is the thing that gets you up in the morning beside your alarm, right? What's the thing that just moves you, where you sit back and say, I was made for this? Because what we call this is passion. And God has created in each of us very unique passions. And Sam teased this a little bit last week, but if passion were the word, if it was the underlying word for today, I'm going to have us click on that link. I'm going to have us click on that so we can go a bit deeper as we're just considering the stories that we're telling. You see, the people I seem to be connecting with that are just happy right now, the individuals that are growing personally in their walks with God, maybe just growing personally with something they've wanted to do for a while, and COVID sort of set them in motion to do that. The people that have growing organizations or businesses, I believe they have passion that drives them. Passion, to me, is that common denominator, because you can hear it in their voice. You can see it in their eyes when you spend time with them. The passion just spills out of that individual. Now, it's either John Wesley or Abraham Lincoln, or maybe it was Kanye, but they said this: light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come to you from miles to watch you burn. Light yourself with passion. People will come from miles to watch you burn. I love that quote because I believe that's so true. That's so true because of when, and you know this, when you've spent time with a person that's just passionate about who they are, about how God's wired them, about what they're contributing to this world, you just can't forget being around them. And by contrast, people that feel stuck, I think people that I've been with that are just declining, maybe spiritually, maybe they're declining emotionally, even physically, right? People that are just hurting right now and are being driven by fear, I don't know if they have that same burn. I don't know if they have that same desire or that same passion. And I want to confess, my level of passion is just like anybody's here. It can ebb and flow, and I've had that up and down in certain seasons. And some of those seasons, it's because I've needed to reevaluate what I'm passionate about. I've had to look at that and evaluate that. Sometimes I'm just apathetic, and I don't really lean in to the way God has impassioned me. But regardless, when I am at my most effective, when I'm the best Brandon I can be, I do realize, and if I unpack that, if I get behind the curtain a little bit, I've tapped into the way that God's created me, the way he's made me uniquely, and that certain thing that energizes me, that certain, the thing that I get excited about with certain things, I'm just more me. And so passion has me at my best when my passion is high. Today, I want us to look at a guy from the Old Testament, and his name is David. And we looked at him about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was talking about friendships and relationships. But today, I want to look at this man's life in a deeper way, clicking on that link, just because I want to see what lit him up. Because David was very passionate. If you've been around the church at all, you know about David. He was a shepherd boy that would become a king. Talked about children. This was essentially a kid who became a king. And David's creative nature and his passion was something that must have been one of those moments where it was like, I'm around a person that's just, I'm watching them burn. I mean, if we read the scriptures and look like that, it must have been amazing to be around David because he had this spiritual energy about him that gave you the impression he was someone who was transformed. He was changed by God. He was at his best when his passions were high. Now, many of us know the story of David and Goliath. And the Philistine army was at war with the Israelite army. And so they would often pick a representative warrior to do battle and then be able from there to declare the winner once the battle was won out of these two individuals. The Philistines had this massive giant named Goliath. And the Israelites, they didn't have anybody. They didn't have anybody to pit or stand up against this giant. So this little kid, this little shepherd boy who's bringing snacks to his brothers has a passion that runs white hot. And if you look at his spiritual enthusiasm as in his confidence when he confronts the giant, it's pretty impressive. Some of us have heard this before, but let's look at it with new eyes this morning. God created David to be very, very unique. And he says this to Goliath. He's replying to this Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." I mean, this is powerful, powerful proclamation that David's making him. It's full of passion. So where did he get that? Because there is a whole army of other warriors who didn't have what he had. They didn't have anything that ran them white hot, that they believed in their God so much. So where did he get this ongoing inner dwelling fire for how God made him? And if you're like me, again, passion, it can ebb and flow. So how do we tap into this kind of passion when we can't seem to find it? How does a shepherd boy approach this giant? And how do we approach the giants of our lives? As we're walking into this battle of life, he walked into that battle courageous, bold, and passionate. I think there's two things this morning, just two things that I want to focus on, I believe, that guided David in that passion. And these are things that we can consider, I think, if we might be in the room this morning, we're feeling like passion might be waning in our life a little bit. Here's a reminder that David gives us that passion can stay white hot if we don't take days off from the thing God created you to be. Don't take days off from the thing God created you to be. Now, this is not what I'm saying. I'm not encouraging us not to take a day off. Okay, I'm not encouraging us to become workaholics. I'm not taking time to do that we're so overscheduled with the stuff to do that the stuff to do is what we become. But I wonder if that's where we've gotten sometimes. I can't tell you how many men's retreats that I've gone to. And you're going and you're introducing yourself to guys, and this is just sort of the nature of guys. Before long, we'll introduce ourselves, we'll give our name, but then seconds in, we'll also say what we do for a living. Oh, you know, I'm an engineer, or hi, I'm Brandon, I'm a pastor kind of deal, and it sort of gives us that status of our title in what we do. Now, how many of us have become what we do? How many of us have our identity wrapped up in that? See, that's not what I'm asking. I didn't say don't take days off from the thing God created you to do. I would say take days off from that. Get some rest from that. What I said is don't take days off from the thing God created you to be. well, who's God created us to be? Sam's going to tease this a little bit more next week. Actually, he's going to go more deep dive into this as we just talk about who God has created us to be. But I think in its most simplistic form, God created us to be people who love him and people who love people. That's really the most simplistic form of this. And people that have that understanding, that obtain that kind of mission, love God, love people, I believe that's where passion starts. If you want your passion to impact others, you don't take a weekend off from that. You don't take a week off from that. That's just who you are. That's who you are wherever you are, because we don't take days off from the thing God created us to be. See, David, he trusted God daily. This was a daily occurrence that he walked with God. Daily, he worshiped God daily. And by not taking that day off, David discovered that he was uniquely made, that he was courageous beyond measure. How could he fight a giant? How could he fight this Philistine giant as this young shepherd boy? Well, it's because he had taken care of sheep, and in doing that, a bear actually came. There's a story about a bear that would come and attack this boy, and guess what? He defeated the bear. And so he could draw upon that experience. He could draw upon the courageous moment that he had in that time. God gave him the strength to defeat the bear, and so he trusted God for any kind of future moment he would have, any kind of future battle he would be in. He could trust God for those battles that lie ahead in life, because he didn't take a day off. He didn't take a day away from the thing he was created to be. And I think for many of us, thinking of that concept of not having a day off for maybe anything in our life, it sort of freaks us out a little bit. It can stress us out. Many of us are living just to get to the weekend. We're living just to get to the weekend. We're clock watching, just hoping to get to the end of the day. And so we don't see Mondays as an opportunity. We'll see Mondays as it's Monday, right? Maybe until Monday Night Football kicks in. Now, I've been there. I've been right in that same seat. But I don't think Jesus spent most of his day pining for 4 o'clock to get home so he could watch Wheel of Fortune, or so he could go to the driving range and work on his golf game, right? No. Jesus, yes, he took breaks. Jesus rested. But that's not what I'm talking about that's important. I'm not talking about going and going and going until we have burnout. What I'm talking about is people that care so much about who God's created us to be, that we love God and that we love people, that the mission becomes who we are. It's the thing that drives our passion. And so that's not just the pastor's mission. That's the engineer's mission. And that's the stay-at-home mom's mission. And that's the student's mission. Love God, love people. It becomes the dog's mission, right? I mean, it's everybody's mission to love God and love people. People that are full of passion, they're obsessed with that. And here's what I love about not taking this day off concept. Sometimes that can feel burdensome to us. Well, you know, spending time with God on a daily, I'm a busy person. I got a lot going on in my life. And we can turn that into something that might be burdensome instead of the very time that we would spend with God on a daily basis could take away all the other burdens of our life. See, David enjoyed God's presence. He enjoyed the presence of God. He was the one who said in Psalm 24, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that's guiding me. He's the one that's covering me. He's the one that's leading out my life, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life." All the days of my life. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When the Ark of the Covenant came into David's hometown, this is where the presence of God dwelled. David went out, and he went out fully and completely undressed. He was dancing naked, right? It sounds like a party to me, but David's, he's participating in this massive worship party. And his wife is teasing him. She's making fun of him. She's embarrassed by what's going on, making fun of him, and it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what's going on because he couldn't contain himself. Everything was flowing out of him, just enjoyment in the presence of the Lord. Now, many of us will click on a computer screen once a week to join this format, to get charged up, and then that once a week, we'll sort of come back the next week. Many of us will come here or drive to a place where we can drive across town, sit in a church service, sing some songs, but it's once a week. What would our lives look like if there was a daily interaction spent purposefully on mission, loving God and loving people? What would that mean for our passions that God built into us if we just kept the main thing the main thing? Here's an observation I've made about people, maybe even most people, I think this includes me, that we're looking for balance in our lives. That's just a standard, right? And we're trying to find this stability. We don't want to go too far this way or too far this way. I talk a lot about that. We've preached on that here, about balance and the importance of finding margin in our lives. And obviously, to make life work, we need clear boundaries. We need steady and consistent routines that help guide us. But I'm going to share this with you. This is a personal thing. I've become a little weary of the idea of someone trying to create complete balance in their lives, trying to have complete balance around everything in their lives. Because here's where God has challenged me in this whole balance thing. Most influential people that have significant impact on those around them, they don't lead balanced lives. They lead passionate lives. That's the people that I'm in. The people that are gaining the most influence, that are making significant impact in their sphere of influence, they're not trying to look for balance. They're leading with passion because they're trying to lead a life that leaves a legacy. They're not trying to settle. They're not trying to live lives that are just for the, okay, here we go. They're looking for things that are going to make a difference. They're living their lives on mission. So we don't take days off from the thing God created us to be. The second thing that David reminds us to keep passions running white hot is that possibilities are greater than our problems. Possibilities are greater than our problems. Now, I believe that people are driven with passion, that, again, they're more excited about what's possible than what might be right in front of their face, and that's the problem. And I get it. Life is going to inevitably have problems. We understand that more than ever, probably, in 2020. That there are big problems that we face personally, maybe as a nation. But I wonder if we've fallen into these two extremes, especially during COVID season. And there's one very positive extreme, and that could be that you've not forgotten about who you're created to be. So you're trusting God daily, and you're depending on his presence daily to get you through this time. And so this extreme has led you to a place of passion, and you're growing more and more intimate in your relationship with God. You're sensing his direction in all of this weird timing. And even in the turbulent times, you see hope, and you see a path, you see a vision. The possible is greater than the problem. But there's also another extreme. And tragically, this is the other extreme is, and I believe it's our human nature, what I know about people is that we don't drift towards the power of the possible. We'll look at the problem. We tend to look more at the problem. Well, we don't ask the question, what would God do in such a time like this? We could turn into instead drifting by looking at the problem or focusing on complaining or maybe complacency, right? We drift towards apathy. We drift towards self-centered attitudes. And unfortunately, then the problems can become mightier than they were even to begin with. The problems that were small maybe seem much bigger because we're so focused on the problem. And I wonder if we just start drifting. I wonder if we start drifting from even the importance of why this has been important to come together, whether online or in person, just to be refreshed. And so we're starting to lose some of those disciplines. Those good disciplines go away. We set bad habits start setting in, and we become filled with a little bit of fear. Fear that starts driving us. Where'd my passion go? What are the things that God's wired me for? I feel like I've lost those. I feel like I can't get a handle. What am I supposed to do? And this vibrant, passionate calling from God, it's been replaced by maybe comfort. maybe even just getting a little too comfortable with where we're at. Comfort to be negative, comfort to focus on the problem. Instead of understanding that we know this in the deepest parts of us, I believe, is that no, God, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with his power behind it. And we're in good company because David lost that focus. As he got into his kingship, he started losing some of the focus. I mentioned a few weeks ago, God did a great job by surrounding him by friendships and people that could speak into his life. Nathan was a prophet that spoke into David's life. It was one of those friendships. He confronted David when he lost focus. He confronted him on his sin and his sinfulness. And after that confrontation, David realizes he had fallen away. He cries out in this very powerful psalm, Psalm 51. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me," I love that, "restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." I think this is so powerful. I think this reminder is so powerful that possibilities are bigger than the problems, because David's understanding probably is heightened into this one moment, "restore to me." What if it's possible that we are each one step away from rediscovering what lights our fire? We're one step away from rediscovering that passion. Restore to me. What do you do when you lose what you had? What do you do when you lose what you had? You refill. You refind. You rejoice or you renew. You restore. You go back to doing what you did before. And it's possible that we can go back to what we had. It's possible to renew your passion. For many of us in here, we have a relationship that we've been desiring to restore for a while. It's possible, because he's bigger than any problem we face. It's possible for God to do anything if we just trust in him, if we believe that he is bigger than the source or even the what's right in front of us in the problem, right? David understood these two things. They're good reminders for us. You don't take days off from the thing that God created you to be, and our possibilities are greater than our problems, and those are what drove him. Now, many of us, again, if you're like me, the unique passions that God's created us in us, and to even look at David's life and know that he had the roller coaster life of a journey where that passion could ebb and flow. Like many of us, we want what David had, and that's something that we want for our own lives. But we're like, Brandon, sometimes it just wanes. Yeah, David's a good example because his passion was high, and that's probably when he was at his best. But what when I'm not at my best? What happens when the passion wanes? And I think one of the things we can immediately do when passion wanes is we want to move on to the next new thing. The new thing. We'll replace the old. Passion's not there anymore. And we'll try the new thing. And I think that sometimes we forget our calling. The hope that we found in that one thing, we may not find it somewhere else. It's not bad to make a change in life. It's not bad to take a different step into a new opportunity. I want to just get really practical here, though. When we aren't passionate about our job anymore, what happens? We go to find a new job. What happens when we're not passionate about our spouse anymore? We leave, and we look to start something over. When we're really not on fire with God anymore, we'll take the time to just go ahead and dismiss that relationship, and we'll look to fill our tank with something else that's going to fill us with passion, that's going to make us passionate in the moment or reignite something that was just not there. See, we'll bail. We'll bail and we'll look for the new thing. But maybe the old thing wasn't so bad. Maybe the old thing wasn't really the thing we should have dismissed so quickly. So just the last thought for this morning. What if the counterpart to passion is perspective? What if we just gained a little perspective on what the old has done in our life? I wonder if we bail on something, or I wonder if we bail on someone just moments before a critical breakthrough that God's going to use that situation, going to use that person. Maybe we just need a little perspective. Because I think we'll have days and weeks and even season where our passion is going to run white hot. But we're also going to need to hold on to the counterpart of perspective when it doesn't. When we have those moments, when we have those long periods of time maybe, where simply all we have to hold on to is perspective. Well, you're a pastor, Brandon. You're always in a place where you keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is who you were created to be. And so you know that 24/7. Well, no. Well, Brandon, no, you always look at the possibilities over the problems. Those are always in front. And as a pastor, you always stay positive and looking at those possibilities and knowing God's going to work in them. No. See, we can all laugh at that, right? Because I'm just like you. I'm just like you where I have struggles sometimes and my mindset gets under attack. Sometimes when I'm rolling and rocking in my passion, my faith is under attack. Sometimes my very mood is under attack, all right? And my wife somewhere is saying, amen, 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 right? I can be under attack just like everyone. So what do I do for perspective? I go back to my sophomore year in high school. I go back to that year when I first received Christ as my personal Savior. Jesus Christ that came into my life and changed the trajectory of my life for all time. That God was so good that I can now to this day give thanks time and time again to the goodness of God that he would send his one and only Son to replace my sin on the cross on behalf of me, on behalf of everyone in this room, everybody that's watching online. He would do that because he loves us, because he wants to make a new way, because he wants to use the way he's uniquely made each of us to tell a greater story. So my perspective brings me back to that sophomore in high school that had a passion for Jesus and had a passion for people knowing Jesus. And when I can get that perspective and go back to that time, it drives the story that I'm trying to tell today, that I'm looking to live out today. And so maybe all we need is perspective in those moments where we don't feel so white hot, we don't feel so like everything's being driven out of passion. We can just go back to a time where we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that today, if you haven't done that today online, today's the day. Because he's going to change the trajectory of your life as well. And here's what's going to happen. When you have that perspective of a Savior that steps in, and it's not about you, it's about him, and it's about everything he's done, here's what happened. It comes full circle, and that reignites your passion. The passion can be lit with perspective. And so this morning, if you're in a place where, I don't know if I'm on fire, I don't know if I'm lit, then this song is for you and it's for me. Because this next song points to the very reason where God meets us right where we're at, exactly as we are, and that he wants our hearts first. And then that will be the very thing that leads the passion of our stories, the depth of our stories. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for my friends. I thank you for those in this room, Lord, if they are accepting you, Jesus, today, accepting that you came for them, for all of their brokenness, for all of the things that are wrong in their lives, Lord, you paid that price on the cross for all time, God. And now you've come to dwell in our lives, in our very spirits, Lord, to where we're driven now by the power of your spirit that lives in us, Lord. We are victorious and we are impassioned people to now tell your story, tell how you've impacted our story, God. So, Lord, would we have that perspective be greater than anything that's in front of us, Lord? May we look at the possible instead of just the problems of our life, Lord. And may we be the people that you have created us to be, sons and daughters that love you and love people. God, we're asking you to guide that. We're asking you to help us this morning. And, Lord, we thank you so much for what we can, so we can hear from your word in this place. We pray these things in your great name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.